This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate Baseball and the Sports Objective.
You're watching Extra Innings, presented by PGXGloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and X as we talk East Carolina baseball. Land lies the previous week while also taking a look at what lies ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate Baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective. It's brought to you by PGXGloves.com. Pirates have a tough week in Clearwater, but we're getting ready to find out any second now, in the next couple minutes, if you're watching live, about will we host or will we not host. And on the road, we have our great friend Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man? On the way back from Atlantic Beach in New Bern right now.
All right.
So hopefully we get good news. Yeah, Highway 70, yeah, exactly. Thought about going back down 58, down through Emerald Isle, but it's a boring-ass ride. There is nothing in between Newbern and Kinston. anyway, I hope we host. I'm not expecting it at this point, but would be a nice, I don't know if you'd call it a surprise, but I'm still holding out a little bit of hope.
Yeah, Bubba Rosenbaum, you and I think the guys for the Sports Objective, we're not feeling very confident. I know some Pirate fans are. I hope they're right. And I hope I'm wrong, and I know you hope you're wrong, but not looking good for us to host.
Yeah, I certainly think we're worthy of hosting.
Right.
You know, it's just more, do I think they're going to reward us, you know, with what we deserve?
Can you hear Bubba?
Say it again?
Yeah, I can.
You guys carry on for a minute, and I'll rejoin you momentarily.
Okay. We're waiting 1 minute away now from the announcement of where we're going. Are we going to be in Greenville, or we'll at least know that, and we'll find out tomorrow, by the way, around noon on the selection show. In fact, I'll go over to Greenville tomorrow to the campus, to Town Bank Tower. They have a selection show, and we'll have that, and we'll have that for you up on social media tomorrow. But keep in mind, if we don't find out here the next handful of seconds, as the clock is counting down to 8:30 Eastern, then don't worry, because
somebody just texted in the mega group. Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah.
Or have I got lag?
No, go ahead.
Somebody just texted in the mega group in caps. Let's go. So I don't know if we just got good news or not.
Oh my goodness, that would be fantastic.
We did, guys. Pirates are hosting.
Wow.
What a surprise.
Wow.
Did not expect that.
All right.
There you go. How about that? John Gilbert maybe actually did some good. Do you think Gilbert helped us out on the committee?
Oh my goodness. That is great news. So guys, I know they're not gonna give us the seating until tomorrow. I said 14, but I'll say after yesterday, can I change it, Bubba, to 16 since we don't know yet? The seating, it doesn't matter, I know, but I just wonder if I assume that we're going to be the last hosting site.
I'm gonna go 15.
You think 15?
Did Raleigh get a host site, Bubba?
I haven't had a chance to look at all so far. The only two that I've seen
Williams is saying Raleigh also. Wow.
I'll have the list scrolling across the bottom of the screen here momentarily. The only two I'd seen thus far, in addition to Greenville or Raleigh, obviously, and then Knoxville.
Nate says, well, he got Dilde back into the stadium yesterday, talking about Gilbert laughing out loud. Very good point there, Nate.
Gilbert on a row, got Dilde back in the stadium, got him, hopefully played a role in a
state
spot.
Yeah. And they're saying they will look for the best team. So the whole notion of, having the regional host sites spread out. They may have one out west, but most of them are going to be most likely guys in the southeast. I mean, with Tennessee, you've got North Carolina is definitely going to host, I would think, NC State. They're saying us with East Carolina. So that means Duke didn't get it then. Duke did not get a – I would think Durham is not going to get a hosting
site. You
wouldn't
think they'd put three in North. I'm sure all 16 have been announced. We just need to get them here on the screen.
And I appreciate a lot of people watching, listening, Kyle. As always, want to thank our fans while Bubba is working on that. And our great if you guys have them, can you put up on the in the chat? For, if you're on YouTube or Facebook or X, please let us know. So we're trying right now to get those.
I would get them myself, but I am in a truck, and if I close this out to look up something else on my phone, David, you on your phone or computer?
I'm on my computer. I'm
okay. I would imagine you can go to D1 Baseball, and they'll probably have all 16. Yeah, that's what
I was,
there.
You read my mind. That's what I was getting ready to. Great minds think alike. Thank you, Kyle. We're going to. That was.
I'm on at NCAA Baseball, and like I said, they'll be scrolling across the bottom of the screen here momentarily. As soon as I have my opportunity to key them in.
Okay.
In the meantime, Dave, if you can get them up there, just read them out.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Yeah, can you guys hear me? All right, let me know if me know if I drop out. So,
yeah, go ahead, Bubba.
Well, I think you dropped out.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. But all right, so I was trying that. Let's see. Yeah, we can. Nate says we can hear you, Bubba. That's what I don't. Yeah. So great things. We haven't heard the teams. Brandon, they will announce tomorrow. He's asking, do we know the teams that'll be in Greenville?
No, that'll 12 be o'clock tomorrow. ESPN, 12 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, one of the ESPN networks. The Field of 64 will be announced. We just know we're hosting along with the other 15 host sites, which we will have here on the screen momentarily.
Virginia and Florida State definitely have them. Thanks to John White, former pitcher for the Pirates, putting that up for us. Thank you, John. One of the best pitchers for Pirates. We appreciate it so much. Let's see. I'm working on it. Sorry, guys.
D1 Baseball, Dave, NCAABaseball.com, Baseball America. These would all be places that should have it up.
Yeah.
Maybe check their Twitter feeds or X feeds.
Okay. All right. Let's.
But anyway, as far as who's in our bracket tomorrow, you know, we can speculate. I would imagine we will have an ACC school as a two in our bracket. Maybe somebody like Wake Forest. You could see a Wilmington. I don't know if they win the CAA tournament, but I know they're projected to be in. I think App is a bubble tournament team. These are teams that you would expect regionally maybe to see in our bracket, but who knows? Lots of times we'll send somebody from the Northeast down here. Who knows? Being a lower seed, being a what's most likely going to be a 14th or 16th, to what we're guessing, you can expect a pretty strong two seed. So I would expect probably to see Wake Forest as our two seed would be my guess. That's pure speculation on my point.
I'm seeing Santa Barbara is going to host. Tennessee will be one of the hosts.
Let's there you go, Knoxville, Santa Barbara.
Yep.
We know Charlottesville. We know Tallahassee. We know Greenville.
Oregon. It looks like Oregon State, the Beavers.
Corvallis.
Yeah, they're going to be Corvallis Regional. I'm looking here. We told you Florida State.
And Tallahassee.
Yep.
Charlottesville. I'm sure UNC, Chapel Hill, Raleigh.
I'm still looking, sorry. Let's see if I can. I'm having to scroll through here.
All right, guys.
It's kind of hard.
I have all 16 here.
Okay,
so
thank you.
We have Greenville, East Carolina and Greenville, Tucson, obviously University of Arizona, Tallahassee, Florida State, Stillwater, Oklahoma State, UC Santa Barbara, Raleigh Regional with the Wolfpack, Norman, your regular season champions in the Big 12. You have Lexington for Kentucky, who spent part of the season at number one. Knoxville with Tennessee, Fayetteville, Corvallis, Clemson, yep. Charlottesville, Chapel Hill, College Station, and Athens. So
Terre Haute, Indiana State didn't get the host.
Nope.
Correct.
Wow. That's a,
who knows? They may have had an event going on campus like they did last year where they couldn't host a super region.
Well,
and I know it is funny to a degree. It's sad for those kids. I hated it for them last year, but it was just one of those things. Like, do you ever think another event going on the East Carolina campus would keep us from hosting a super regional? No chance.
No.
Everybody knows the very end of May and early to mid June is between the tournament, regional, and super regional. And then, of course, hopefully one day Omaha.
Yeah, a lot of people that made plans to be in Greenville next weekend already. And a lot of people thought they were going to change those plans. I know some people were still confident we were going to host, but in the majority of the people we associate with did not think we were going to host. It is a nice, I won't call it a surprise, but a little unexpected. I think it shows a lot of how much we are respected. Right. East Carolina baseball, Cliff Godwin, I think it shows a lot of how much respect that East Carolina baseball carries in the baseball world, that despite the way we finished the season, played down the stretch, by and large, that we still hosted.
Kudos to the NCAA selection committee, for making this decision, because a lot of the, Baseball America, I believe, I know D1 Baseball, they really believed after Mississippi State's late season surge, despite that RPI, being at 25, just about two or three spots higher than the Pirates, that they were going to host in Starkville. But, it's awesome that they're not, because they would have been the one that would have probably knocked us out.
No question about it. And so if we're the six, to help me out, guys, if we are the 16 seed as far as host seed, who would we be paired up against? What
the one, the one seed, whoever that would be.
Okay, so it's the one. Yeah, that's right. That's right, because we had the – okay, I got it. Got it.
Yeah, you'd be thinking obviously Tennessee. Like,
oh, yeah, man. Knoxville for next weekend, guys? We got
to
get –
well, we'll have to wait and see where we're seated. Well,
yeah,
and if we win the regional, but but that could be the potential. Could be if we are the 16. I'm not convinced we'll be the 16. Now that we're in, who the hell knows? I'd have to look at again. Bubba, you just went over those host sites. Who else would you think would be in that 16 talk? I would think us, NC State. Who else?
Oregon State. They're probably going to be down there. Obviously the Arizona.
Okay.
UCSB. UC Santa Barbara.
Right.
Right.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. I'm gonna say we're gonna be the 15 seed. I know somebody said 14.
Dave's I did saying earlier. 16.
So
yeah.
Really. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I'm not scared of Tennessee.
Give credit to Todd Vavrette. Todd called it. And again, it's not that I didn't think we were deserving of hosting. I was just afraid because how it often works. I do think that we have a lot of. I know even prior to this that we have a lot of respect in the college baseball world. It wasn't even that. I just know, when you have an SEC team that's in consideration, how it will often work a lot of times.
Yeah, no kidding. The SEC seems to trump everything, and particularly when it has a chance to knock out a so-called group of five. you know, if it would have been Mississippi State or NC State for that, you know, and Bubba, the way you're talking, then if it's between us and Mississippi State, and theoretically, you know, maybe we are the 16. In terms of RPI, are we the lowest hosting RPI, or no, or do you know?
I'm sure Johnny Robertson can.
Yeah, JR.
Supply us that information. I'll get to that momentarily if JR hasn't chimed in.
And by the way, from John White, he said if we get the 15, by the way, Kyle, Kentucky would be the super. So
most likely.
Right.
Yeah.
Elliot's asking, Dave, what is our baseball stadium hold, including the jungle? I think it's 5,000. Is that right, Bubba? However,
no, close to six.
Six. Because, you know, the largest crowd has been just over 6,000. Right. And then, obviously, that Texas game back in 2022, wow. Who knows how many were at that game. It was probably more like seven.
It was crazy. The Super was absolutely nuts in the jungle. It was probably – would you guys – Bubba, would you say it was 10, 15 deep? I mean, all the way across, even right field – that doesn't normally, I mean, if you didn't get there and put your seat there, you're
at
not,
least, yeah. I mean, even game three, where you had the weather delay,
yeah,
there in the first couple innings, and you resume the game 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and it was still very thick in the jungle.
Yeah, I went home.
Yeah, we went home because it was like 10 something, and I was like, I got to get up the next day. I was like,
and I started to. And, you know, I made it to about Farmville, and I just, at that point, the game, there had not been a start time announced, and I started to head out reluctantly, and even though knowing the deck was stacked against us as far as winning that game, I was like, if I go home and if I don't go back and we do win, I'll never forgive myself for it, so.
You drove all the way back?
Well, I was only in Farmville, but
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was hoping beyond hope that night that they wouldn't restart it until the morning, or then, you know, I heard that all the games had to be played that night. So I was like, well, maybe they just have to forfeit the damn thing, and the higher ranked seed will automatically advance. And unfortunately, it did not work out.
Yeah,
we should have turned on the sprinklers and just soaked the rest of the field.
Classic Kyle from LaGrange move. Robert says, all right, guys, who's getting me two tickets in the stands? Good luck with that. It'll be like SeatGeek, Robert. We love you, man. SeatGeek, StubHub. Definitely.
You know, I got two tickets in the stands for game three because I'm going to see the ticket holder for baseball. And the jungle does me no good unless I just want to go for the atmosphere.
Right.
Somebody gave me two seats, so I could talk. I don't even remember who it was now, but somebody gave me two seats in the stands for game three. I should remember who it was.
We've got breaking news. We are the lowest RPI team that is hosting. Thanks, Johnny Stats. JR, okay. You are the best.
Then we will likely be the 16.
Yeah, we're the I feel very confident. I think I said 14, you said 15, but now it's looking more like, hey, the most important thing is we're hosting. That's the bottom line.
Correct.
I'll take being wrong. I'm glad to be wrong. I'm glad that.
Until you guys think Duke or Wake Forest for our two seed.
That's what I was. Who would you want? I'll say
Wake, because we hadn't played them.
Yeah, and that's the only way we're going to ever play them. At least the rest of the teams will play us, but that's a whole other show. Duke won the first time in 60 years.
Hey, and think about that storyline. If our two seed is Wake Forest and we take care of our business on Friday, and then Wake handled their business, you would have an East Carolina Wake Forest winner's bracket game on Saturday, and Wake Forest was the program that was buying or attempting to buy Treya Savage away to have that 1-2 punch with Chase Burns and Treya Savage. So think about that matchup, Chase Burns against Treya Savage. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and what you're just saying, them trying to get him away with NIL, that's, you talk about some motivation to win that game.
Woo! That would be
Not that you need any added motivation to win that game.
No, that's exactly. Let's see here. Well, we'll have to thank you so much. We are have record-breaking, speaking of record-breaking crowds for our show, for streaming. So thank you so much. We don't talk about that a lot, but thank you for everybody. It's a big night. Pirates, if you're just joining us, Pirates are hosting. So that's, I guess I'm kind of speechless because I had like my plan of talking about why we didn't host, but, you know, making the argument that we should be hosting. And I'm pleasantly surprised. This is fantastic. So, by the way, those of you that have already put your request in, those your credit cards will be charged and debit cards on Wednesday. So keep that in mind. Wednesday is the day that we'll get our tickets. Mine are mobile. They're going to send those mobile. So we'll have that. And they're going to print out your parking. You have to print out your parking pass from home. So for those of you who didn't know, that's the way it normally works anyway. And we've got the tomorrow guys will be, I'll be there. Kyle, do you want to come over? Do you have any plans tomorrow?
I'll let you know, Dave. You put me on the spot there. I'll let you know.
Well, anyway, I'll definitely be there. Love to have Kyle. He's awesome. So that'll be fun to hang out with Kyle tomorrow. But basically the selection show starts at 12. We'll get there at 11:30.
Where will it be at, Dave?
Tower.
Okay.
Yep.
I remember one year they did it at the Mellow Mushroom, so I didn't know if they were doing it somewhere like that.
And they had it like at Sup Dogs, but I think it's cool to have it at Town Bank Tower on the club level. You know, you've got all your great players, all the great folks there. And of course, John Gilbert, Ryan Robinson, all the Pirate Club folks will be there, media. It's a great time, and this is even better this year. Even better to know that, yes, we didn't win the conference tournament. And guys, did you want to talk a little bit about this past weekend? I know that we're excited, but just get your quick thoughts on that.
I'm glad it's over. It was a grind trying to get through that with our pitching situation. Hitting was disappointing. These bats have got to come alive. Pitching is what it is. You know, the bullpen depth was never as good as should have been on paper. The starting pitching was good. A lot of injuries. We should, you know, have, you Savage back this coming weekend.
And Wyatt Lungstrom Schenkman.
Yeah.
And we have Root. Yeah. So we're in better shape this coming week than we were. We just had to make it. It's like a pirate. That what I was thinking about, guys, is like, being a pirate, this was a really bad storm this week, and use that metaphor. And so the storm is over as far as we're in, as Bubba would say, we're better, but we're not quite there. But at least we have more pitching than we did during the tournament. So that's my thoughts. How about you, Bubba?
Well, clearly, from a pitching standpoint, we'll be in the best shape we've been in about 6 weeks. I'm back in the... I guess there in mid-April, I think it was that Wichita State weekend was the last weekend that our rotation was intact, because out at Memphis, Root and Lunsford Schenkman were not available, and you had to have other guys step up and start carrying more of the load. But Ethan Norby, our PGXGlove.com pitcher of the week. He had two appearances down in Clearwater, threw 9 1/3, allowed 4 runs, but only 3 of those were earned. And that second performance was really clutch that allowed the Pirates to defeat Wichita State in the first game on Saturday, 5-4. We had managed to stay competitive early on the first 3 innings of that game, despite not throwing strikes. I think we had walked 6 or 7 batters in 3 innings, but then you had Ethan Norby come in and, you know, really, really pitch well, allowing just 1 walk and 1 run on 2 hits in 4 1/3. So congratulations to Ethan. He has been, after the first 2 or 3 outings of his Pirate career did not go as he would have liked, but since then he's largely been really, really good for East Carolina. And then kind of going back, you guys were already addressing this to a degree, but Elliot I can't remember if you referenced his question when y'all were talking about the pitching situation. Obviously, yeah, Treya Savage will be pitching for the first time in 15 or 16 days in a game after dealing with that partially collapsed lung and not being able to pitch, or us choosing not to pitch him in Clearwater. I think, you know, based on what we were told from Cliff, you know, that was just
they were
that was what. Yeah, I mean, that was what was advised by the medical professionals. So I really don't have anything else to say because you obviously have to defer to them there on that. Coming back from that, and it'll be interesting to see as far as stamina and, you know, especially stamina in that environment, you know, where in such an electric atmosphere like you would have on a Saturday night game in a regional. And clearly that adrenaline will be really flowing for Treya Savage. And then you got Zach Root. He threw three pretty good innings, especially those first two. I think he did end up walking three, which is a little atypical for Zach in three innings. But those first two, he's pretty sharp and lost his command a bit in the third. But all in all, I don't think he even surrendered a hit in those three innings of work, and gave up one run as a result of those free passes. And obviously Wyatt hasn't exactly looked like himself thus far in his first two outings back at Tulane, and then did not pitch against Rice. And then we saw him get the start and threw 24, 25 pitches on Thursday, but hopefully they'll be able to contribute the most they have in 6 weeks, and we certainly need them to.
No doubt. And by the way, guys, John brings up John White, former pitcher for the Pirates. He was talking about Wake Forest's pitcher Chase would pitch the first game and Trey too, so they would never face each other, as great as that would be.
That's not necessarily true. He should know that. When you're going to play a one versus four, you're probably going to save you Savage for Saturday. Now, depending on who the three seed is, Wake may choose to throw their ace on Friday night, but would not be surprised to see both saved for Saturday in that situation.
No doubt. Just depending on who the matchups are,
right?
And you know what makes the most sense.
It's probably going to be Friday at noon, by the way, guys. Friday at noon for that first game.
And you think about it here recently. Obviously, we haven't used our ace in those like Coppin State, Norfolk State. Against Norfolk State, you saw Carson Wisenhunt against Coppin State. I'm trying to remember who we pitched, but it certainly was not our ace.
Well, John is saying,
yeah, I would not expect if we'd have played them in the regular season.
They aren't saving neither team, especially if Army is four. He says Army's going to take him to
know. I don't know about that. I know obviously he knows a lot more about baseball than I ever will, but I've seen that done too many times in baseball that you don't pitch your best guy against the four, and yeah, Army. You know, if Army is the four, obviously Army is a good program, but right. I'd be shocked honestly if we threw my brain's not working.
What Root on the first day?
Right, I wouldn't be surprised if we threw Root Friday and then saved.
I know we can. Well, obviously, in 2019, you know, we came out of the loser's bracket. But generally speaking, I mean, it's always important to be 2-0. That goes without saying. But this year, you know, with Jake Hunter on the shelf for the year, with you know, already having Tommy John surgery, right, and just us being so thin on the mound, it's all the more important for us to do everything we can to be 2-0 and not have to play out of the loser's bracket like we did in 2019.
I agree 100%.
Right. hypothetically, if we get UNCW as a four seed, you might want Yusevich. Exactly, Chuck. In fact, they won the CAA, guys, as you probably know.
Then again, it just depends on who the potential matchup on Saturday. Saturday is
three seed.
So I mean, like, you just gotta. I mean, because Zach Root, I feel obviously he's coming off that injury, but. You know, or I say injury, the arm fatigue, or you know, whatever the case may be, coming off being shut down for a month and a half, or you know, five and a half weeks. So, good first outing back, but you know, how many pitches will he be able to throw this coming weekend? And same, we'll see what Trey's stamina is, because you know, here there have been several times, you know, once it warmed up and he had progressed his pitch count, you know, over the weeks. He's gone 115, 120 on at least a couple of occasions. So hopefully it's a situation where he's at his typical level of effectiveness and, you know, he can at least give you close to 100 or something, if not that 115.
All right, guys, by the way, JR, Johnny Stats, is got a great one for you. More good news: that the Pirates are the 16th seed. The number one overall seed has lost in the Super Regionals 3 out of the last 4 years. How about that?
Yeah, and I believe Tennessee was one of those number one.
You're correct.
So hopefully that trend continues if we are the 16th and win our regional. Whoever the one, I'd like the Tennessee.
I'm going to give you credit, Kyle. You've said it before that most likely if we ever make Omaha, we will. So I don't want to sound negative there. If we make Omaha, it'll be something like that, where we go on the road and upset the team that's hosting the Super Regional.
Yeah, I was like, I've even said that we win it from the regional to the Super Regional on the road, which we almost did.
Yep.
Texas Tech, but nice to be hosting, and if we can come out of Greenville, if we have to play the one seed Tennessee, hey, there's no guarantee that the one seed wins their regional. They're not given the damn thing,
right?
So who knows?
And then we might, you know, so that's a great point, Kyle. I was thinking about that earlier today, is that say if we know now it's a moot point, but if we were on the road and we win and then that team that we thought we'd be playing, they lost and we were the higher seed, then we could be hosting a super and not hosting a regional. So it's all kind of crazy things that's why you play the games, just like this weekend. The good news is,
hey, and here's another thing, you know, for you.
Okay.
Just something I don't know if anybody's thought about. We're talking about Tennessee. We're figuring we're going to be the 16, and if Tennessee's the one, well, you remember who Cliff Godwin lost to in the Super Regionals as a player?
Tennessee. That was there.
Wouldn't that be a nice full circle moment?
Oh, well, I hadn't thought about that. Go ahead, Kyle. Good recall there. And by the way, put your questions and comments. A lot of people are listening to and watching Extra Innings. As we found out, if you're just joining us, we are hosting. So people are coming and going. So our great show is brought to you by pgxgloves.com. And I tell you what, a lot of that jungle is going to be rocking. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to see how many people we get in there. But you remember 2 years ago.
Do you guys think that any of that? But Dave, do you guys think that our home field advantage, the reputation of our fan base and the jungle, and the way that it presents itself on TV, the way our fans turn out, the way we sell the stadium out, do you think that played into them giving us this regional at all? Do you think those things are considered?
Yes. What do you think, Bubba?
I think it's one of those things that we'll see tomorrow what the head of the committee says and the chair of the selection committee when he's interviewed on the selection show about some of these decisions. And I'm sure that will very probably be one of those questions he's asked, you know, why did East Carolina get the host spot? Why did UC Santa Barbara get that host spot over Mississippi State? And it will be intriguing to hear what he says, and you know, whether it's the whole truth or not. But I do think that played a role, and because look, you had Duke who was right there. They finished with a higher RPI than we did, but they don't have the facility we do. Obviously the DBAP is unavailable. You know, so if the Deep app wasn't hosting a music festival, you know, who knows, maybe they are hosting instead. But Jack Combs Field there on campus is clearly nowhere close to the facility that Clark LeClair Stadium is. And
right. They've done
that. And we have that track record of hosting in addition to a quality facility. You know, they've seen time and again over the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, how well we can run a regional. And I definitely think that played a role.
Well, you think about it exactly, guys. I mean, when you think about the brand names of any sport, this particular case with baseball, when you're talking about SEC and ACC, not only the league they're talking about, but a lot of the times you are talking about, you look at those SEC stadiums, Mississippi State, LSU, I mean, you can start naming all of them. They have really big fan bases and they have tremendous facilities. And hey, by the way, guys, I want to remind you guys, Pirates Unite, make sure you go ahead while we're having this euphoria of a host site. Now, don't forget about your tickets, but also for the regionals and hopefully super regionals in Greenville. But think about giving money. We're less than $1 million away. That's a lot of money individually for some of us or a lot of us. But it's getting closer and closer to having that baseball expansion that's supposed to. Well, there are some millionaires out there.
There ain't no damn body watching this podcast right now that $1 million ain't a lot of money to them. If they are, what's up? Hit me up on Facebook.
Give Kyle from LaGrange a million, right?
Hey, will you do something.
If somebody gives you $1 million, will you donate to Pirates Unite for the baseball expansion?
I already have donated to Pirates Unite.
I know, but I'm saying, would you add some more to your totals?
If somebody gave me $1 million, sure.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. So if somebody wants to give me $1 million, I'll give them to Pirates Unite. Absolutely.
I'm trying to help a brother out. Oh, my goodness. In fact, here's a question about the the indoor practice facility. We are around $3 million or less, so it's more the $3 million versus the $1 million. But we're getting there, Elliot. Thank you for that question. So how about this? Chuck chimes in. ECU beat State twice and beat UNC twice. That's correct. And, you know, we beat Duke many, many times. This year we didn't. But, hey, our record speaks for itself. As Cliff Godwin put out on, you know, Twitter, on X, guys, you guys saw that, I'm sure, about a lot of people watching and listening. He made his case, and 43 wins. You have the number two RPI non-conference schedule in the country. You look at our non-conference record, you look at our neutral record, you look at, thank you, Bubba, there it is right there, number nine non-conference strength of schedule, 21-5 non-conference you have 43 wins with three games canceled because of weather. Yeah, the series win over UNC. What is their RPI, Bubba, like four? Three or four? I think four for the
something like that. I believe it was four when I looked at it earlier today. Yeah. But yeah, you know, Coach Godwin, you know, jotting me. Go ahead.
You would have thought Coach would have typed that out.
Yeah, I was just about to compliment him on his penmanship, but we all know, hey, a lot of times, you know, the worse your handwriting is, the smarter you are. So we know that's the case. We know that's the case here. He's got that doctor handwriting.
No doubt about it. As long as he wins, that's the most important thing.
He said 5-2 quad one record. And that's something that was much better than a season ago. Last year, we did play more quad one games. But this year, as Dave mentioned, you had a series win over the number four team on the Tar Heels. You also had a couple wins over, last time I checked, UNC Wilmington had an RPI of 38. And then you had the loss to Duke, and then you had two wins over NC State. So you were there, you were what, 4-1 against the top 15, or last I saw, State was about 15 in the RPI. And then you had, let's see, the road record, I believe that says 13-9.
Yep, that's correct.
And then Coach referenced those wins over NC State. And then just obviously the situation there as far as the pitching in the tournament, because we were going to start Cam Clonch and also or Nick Parham, and two guys that haven't sniffed the mound. I say that Cam, I think, had maybe tossed in the bullpen a time or two once we got into the predicament we have over the last 4 or 5 weeks. But you know, we were completely out of pitching. And
yeah,
Cliff said that post game yesterday. It was a blessing in disguise. As much as we wanted to win that game, it was probably best that we didn't. As much as he, because you know, if he's saying that, how much he feels that way and knows it's the case, because
yeah,
not very often do you hear him say something like that. The competitor he is, but he's also gonna shoot you straight, and he did that.
By the way, Bubba, I need to put this up. JR wants to correct something really quick. He says he apologizes. He didn't realize that Arizona was selected. They are 9 RPI spots below us. Maybe
there's their 16 seed. We won't get to play Tennessee after all.
Yep, no Tennessee, looks like, potentially. So looks like Kyle will be correct at 15. Go, Kyle. Looks like you're going to be correct.
We'll see. Who knows? Who knows? They are in the Power 5. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So, but the most important
is the Big 12.
That's right.
That still seems that's crazy. I saw earlier today there was a reporter from Tucson that was there covering the tournament for the Pac-12 in Scottsdale, and she had posted a picture or two of all the apparel and said, everything has to go, whether it was a shirt, a visor, all that Pac-12 merchandise, everything was being sold for $5.
Yeah, what is going to become of that? You know, we still don't know what Oregon State and Washington State is going to do long term. You know, are they going to rebuild the Pac-12? Is it going to end up just being a rebrand in Mountain West? Or are they going to try to, you know, pick from the Mountain West? Do they have the pool to pick from the Mountain West and the American just to keep the Pac-12 branding? You know, what is going to happen with that? If you're a Washington State or an Oregon State fan, I don't know how you can stand it right now, just being in limbo.
I just can't understand why they, and I understand the travel costs, but, you know, are you going to pick Mountain West? I guess because of the regionality part of it, but the American has, despite how my feelings are with the conference, I'm trying to be good.
The media money, but besides that, the American's not garbage anymore.
Yeah, they've proven that they don't want. It just doesn't seem they want us to win. We had a question, by the way, guys, and we'll talk about this briefly. I don't want to get too involved in this. He says, Elliot, one last question: can anyone explain why our coach was suspended for 2 games? I didn't see him do anything wrong. Thanks. Yeah, I saw it again.
Because the umpire's a bitch.
I don't know what it is, man. But
the same umpire last year was the same umpire with the sandwich incident last year. That umpire is a bitch, and Cliff Godwin needs to meet him out somewhere away from baseball and away from the NCAA tournament, and they need to have a nice conversation and see what happens.
Yeah, that was nuts, because he was literally the only reason I think he was out there is to help get Dixon off the field, and he was suspended, which that was nuts. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody. That was really crazy. And so all of a sudden he's doing the right thing, because the umpires didn't talk about, I know this, by the way, I forgot to mention this in the group chat, there was a lot of trash. Wichita State was trash talking big time. And speaking of unsportsmanlike, you're not going to go after them. I'm just saying. And then when they realize all that, then they try to go, oh, well, we're going to give warnings to everybody. Well, if East Carolina hasn't done anything wrong, why are you giving them a warning? I mean,
I don't know. I think it's a personal vendetta between East Carolina and that umpire. I'll tell you this much, and I'm not asking for special treatment, just treated fair. But when you got a program that is in position to host a regional, when you're a national brand in baseball, right. I'd say Memphis is a national brand in basketball. You know, Tulane these days is a national brand in football. UCF Houston, UCF Cincinnati recently. You treat them as such, in my opinion. You know, I'm not saying the conference was more worried about getting a second team into the tournament, but how about this? How about everybody don't suck during the regular season and then have to go win a conference tournament to get right. into a regional. If you, you know, that might help. You know, I again, I'm not asking for special treatment, but don't handicap us in the conference tournament or attempt to. The way we've been treated the last 2 years by this league in this tournament, by the way, Clearwater Beach seems like a great place. That stadium is a great stadium. Seems like a great place to go, but nobody's there. Move the stupid thing to North Carolina. You got East Carolina and Charlotte, both in the state. As long as we have to play this goofus-ass league, move the tournament from Clearwater. I'm sure it's a great place to go. It's a great place to visit, but nobody goes.
Right. It's a drive.
Is it empty? Was it empty stadium? It ain't like the South Florida fans and the Florida Atlantic fans fill the place up. Let's play the thing in North Carolina for now on. It would be at Greenville. Put the damn thing in Charlotte. Put it in Charlotte, the minor league ballpark. I'd be fine with that.
Well, that would be a great question. You know, if we could find out, you know, what the financial arrangement is there to get the tournament to Clearwater. And it's kind of a situation, you know, like the Hawaii Bowl. And what I mean by that is that right there, obviously the end of the regular season, right before the NCAA tournament. And it kind of serves as a reward for all the teams to get to go to that type of location where maybe that's been made a priority, as opposed to, like, if you had it in Charlotte, like you're saying, Kyle, obviously 49er fans. So like when we played Charlotte in that midweek game last year there, you had at least 4,500 in attendance, if not more. And, you know, for a tournament like that, with such a large fan base and alumni base in this part of the state, that every East Carolina game would have, you know, at least 3,500, 4,000, if not more.
And there'll be a lot of people like me that would be willing to try. Well, you know, they do that a lot with, they don't with us for the American. We have it in Fort Worth, but for men's and women's basketball. But you think about it, if you moved it around, Kyle, you make a great point. If you have it in, there's nothing wrong with, you're making a great point. If you have it in Clearwater, you have it in Charlotte, you think about all the schools we have. I mean, and ultimately the weather by that point in May is not going to be, you know, where we're going to have snow. So like in the places that we're talking about. So I have no problems moving it around.
It's the home of the old Big East tournament, and we inherited it from there. And I don't know what kind of financial arrangement they have. And you talk about Bubba says it being prioritized as a reward. Well, the teams are playing baseball the whole damn time. They get one day off in between all that. So maybe it's a reward for the administrations, the fan bases who can travel down, but, you know, and I'm sure it's a great trip to be made, but, you know, if I made the trip down and I thought about it, I would go watch the East Carolina games and my ass would be out in Clearwater and all having fun the rest of the time. But in terms of, if you want fans there, put the thing, you know, if you don't want to put it in Greenville, put it in Charlotte. I'm fine with that. Move it around some. I'm not saying take Clearwater off the list, but every single freaking year.
Yeah, I mean, we're well, one thing is we do, I do think when you look at the basketball and football, there's no question about it. The Cincinnati and UCF were getting a lot of calls because they wanted them to go to be in the playoffs. So anyway, let's move on. Guys, do you have any teams in the regional, now that you know there are teams that you want, and you guys, ladies that are playing at home on YouTube and obviously Facebook and on X, are there people that you want to play, and there are people that you want to avoid?
Because I follow this program, and I don't think they would be in our regional anyway, but Southern Miss is red hot, finished second in the American, in the Sun Belt, which is a great league, then ran through the conference tournament, won that. I think Southern Miss is a dangerous two seed for anybody to get some. I don't think that they'd be considered for our regional, but any SEC school or a Florida State that gets them as a two, they're a very dangerous two. So that's somebody I wouldn't want to play. I think Duke or Wake Forest is going to end up as our two. I think Duke is a dangerous team. They got really good pitching. I really don't want them as a two. Beyond
another,
that,
another possible two for us, it's a matchup that has not occurred in a while. It would be, I guess, the last time we played them was in the 2018 regional when they were here as the two seed, and that's the South Carolina Gamecocks.
I was wondering if you were going to say that, South Carolina. Yeah, they were.
You could have a very similar looking regional to that year. UNC Wilmington. I think the Seahawks, they have a good enough resume this year. They may very well be a three instead of a four. But you could, as far as having the same teams, you could have South Carolina and UNC Wilmington like you did in 2018.
Yeah, and by the
way,
we have.
Do we think App gets in as a three seed, guys?
Who?
Appalachian. They had a decent.
No, absolutely no. They had to win the Sun Belt tournament. They don't have a resume. They've made significant strides, but you know, RPI nowhere near as high as it needed to be. And I think they finished the year maybe 33-22-1, something like that. But yeah, Kermit Smith, you know, Pirate alum Britt Johnson and staff, and they're and also Eastern North Carolina native, Rocky Mountain native, Jim Leggett, who had also served on the staff at Lander as the pitching coach and has reunited with Kermit and Britt at App. They've done a heck of a job and earned a bye this year. I think the number six seed in the fifth best conference and at times the fourth best conference in America, the Sun Belt, heck of a baseball league. And then today you had, like you mentioned, Southern Miss won a thrilling game against Georgia Southern.
By the way, Diane Pons, that we know, hello, Diane. She says, agree to move it, but the problem, where do you move it where we can get the fans to come to? Moving it North Carolina would probably only be East Carolina plans plus players and parents.
Charlotte has a baseball team. So you got East Carolina fans, Charlotte fans that would show up in Charlotte. Beyond
maybe
that,
in Charlotte.
That's okay. They can move me in Charlotte.
By the way,
well, obviously now it is, but you know, should that change because the ACC? Yeah.
Yeah, they're alternating. By the way, guys, from the ACC tournament is from Charlotte and Durham. So, the D.
Just out of curiosity, I'll see if I can find that information about future ACC tournaments in baseball and how long that contract is with Charlotte.
Joshua Pruitt, hello, Joshua, on Facebook says, we'll get Duke and UNCW for sure. In fact, UNCW won the CAA if you're just joining us, so they would be a dangerous, I think they'd be a four seed, right, guys?
Probably a three.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway. We're just talking about that, and I think their resume is good enough with that RPI of 38, the last I saw.
Okay, yeah, he says, John White says they're a three. Okay, they'll be a three if we get them. So thank you, John, for that. I wasn't quite sure, but I know they're a very good team. And, hey, if we get them, you know, I'm not going to talk about the incident that happened a few years ago in the dugout. I'm not going to talk about that. But anyway, for UNCW, 120, we have, but there's, all the regionals, we know, who the hosting sites are. And again, if you're joining us, tomorrow at noon on the ESPN networks, they'll have that, we'll find out the other teams that are playing in the Greenville regional. And, we're asking you, who do you think will be the other three teams? It's more than likely going to be somebody like a Wilmington, somebody. You would have to think maybe Wake Forest or Duke, like we were saying earlier, for the two seed. One of those two teams will more than likely be in Greenville. So a lot of interesting in-state rivalries and different things will happen. But as for those of you that are watching and listening, you know that they're going to try to keep the teams close that are making the tournament, the regional. So we'll see how that all plays out. Bubba, do you have any wild cards that maybe come to Greenville off the top of your head?
I have to look at it and see.
Okay.
And we talked about the Gamecocks. We talked about Wake, Duke, UNC, Wilmington. And did you address Elliot's question? How do they determine who goes where?
No, I haven't done, I was going to say
yeah, that. Elliot, we'll aim to get the winningest coach in Pirate baseball history, and that is Dr. Gary Overton, a.k.a. Coach O. Obviously, the longtime analyst as well on the broadcast. And Coach O has served on the committee and also, you know, been a site coordinator, director over probably 20 years now or something. So, yeah. So we'll have him on if his schedule permits. It may not. He's so busy in this time of the year, but he could shed a light on a lot of that stuff. Regionality. The first and foremost, you know, teams are going to be awarded the seed that they're most deserving of, but at the same time, they do try to regionalize it as much as possible for cost effectiveness. Is also, you know, allowing fans to more easily attend the games. You know, like for instance, last year, the Pirates being at UVA as a 2, and things like that. You think about it down through the years. You know, we've been to Charlottesville for regional at least 3 or 4 times. I know last year, 2012, 2016, when we won it, we've been to Clemson, we've been to Georgia Tech. So they try to keep you local. The only time I'm trying to think right off hand, 2005 comes to mind. We were sent out to Tempe in Arizona State, and we were one of the last teams in the field that year, though. So they tried to – the teams that do get shipped out during the regional, Elliott, are often those teams that are, you know, your last 4 in, your last 8 in, that kind of thing, where they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, and they're going to have to travel because they barely made the field.
Yeah, the Pirates are like we think. We may be a 14 or 15 seed. We'll find out again tomorrow. James Madison, looking at number 3, or High Point as a 4. Those teams are good, and they're not too far away. In fact, Johnny is in that James Madison area, Northern Virginia. So. Johnny,
yeah, they would scare me as a 3. JMU would scare me as a 3 because them playing in the Sun Belt, they've played quality competition all year.
Right.
And that's a little bit scary to me as a 3. You know, where Wilmington won the Colonial, you know, the Colonial's not exactly a hotbed of baseball these days. Although, Wilmington's such a robbery, you kind of get sick of seeing them. I mean, they could easily be sent to Raleigh, be sent to Clemson. They could be sent to Chapel Hill, UNC Tustin. They could be sent to any number of places, Wilmington, that is, or James Madison. But JMU's somebody who hadn't played in a while, but they would scare me a little bit as a 3. Coming out of, but then again, sometimes it benefits you to have a good 3 seed, and I'll tell you why, because you're that 3 might, that 2, and you take care of your business on Friday night, you might have to say Wake Forest is our 2 seed, and JMU's our 3. And JMU upsets Wake on Friday night, and then take care of business against JMU on Saturday, and boom, game. So sometimes 3 can play to your benefit.
And a little more information about James Madison. They are 34-23, and they have an RPI of 44, if that has not been discuss. And so think about that. Like you're saying, Kyle, the benefit of being in the Sun Belt, you know, top 5 league, you know, years past, if JMU was 34-23, they would have very slim chances, if any, to be in at large. But because of their new conference, they do.
All right, let's see. Elliot's saying that he hopes it's on ESPN and not ESPN Plus. He doesn't get ESPN Plus. Bubba, is that on, help me out, is that you tomorrow or ESPN2? I can't remember off the top of my head, but Elliot was asking, obviously, where that's going to be, I believe.
Yeah, right? I'll have to double-check myself. I don't recall. But as far as James Madison, they started the year with a 4-game series at Arkansas. They went 1-3, but in addition to playing in the 5th best league in America, they They won 7-3 at Arkansas, and then also lost 6-4, lost 4-0, and then one game they did get blown out and run ruled. So, very battle tested team, the James Madison Dukes.
No doubt about it, Bubba. Wow, it's hard to believe we're here. Still shocked that we made it. We made it. We're hosting. Not that we didn't, like you said, you make a great point, but was just concerned how we finished down the stretch. And then tournament, we go 2-2. But, hey, the great thing about it is, Bubba, we survive in advance, so we make the national tournament. And, again, if you're just joining us, I want to remind you that your tickets will be sent to you, and they'll charge the debit card and credit cards on Wednesday. And regionals will be Friday. And I'm thinking, Bubba, like Cliff likes to do, for you Pirate fans, you know it's going to more likely be us playing Friday at noon to have an advantage over the other teams, as being that we're the number one team hosting, play that first game.
Right, and that has been the trend the last two or three times at least that we've – and then it also it kind of going right along with that as far as the rest, you know, typically high probability that you're going to get rain interrupting the regional at some point, as we all know. Hopefully that won't be the case, but if that does happen, generally speaking, there's a greater chance of rain late afternoon than there is early to mid-afternoon. And so then the that 2-3 game will hopefully be the one that's getting the delay as opposed to the Pirates.
Yeah, there is, I know for me locally, on Friday, there is a, it looks like we do have on Friday the some weather, so we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But I'm looking for the weather right now for Greenville while we have it on our minds. Because that always seems, the infamous rain delay in 2018 with South Carolina, that was certainly crazy. And we'll look at right now the 10-day forecast for you. Friday, though, looks like Bubba looks good for us. Mostly sunny skies on Friday. You look there at 73 on Saturday, the 1st of June. Hard to believe. Partly cloudy, highs of 77. And on Sunday, partly cloudy and highs of 83. So, Bubba, right now, I'm not the staff meteorologist for the Sports Objective, but right now the regional forecast looks really good. Tim Langdon says the selection show is on ESPN2. Thank you, Tim. I couldn't remember. So it's ESPN2 tomorrow at noon, high noon tomorrow. So thank you, Tim. I always say that our listeners and viewers are smarter than I am. I know it doesn't take much. But anyway, let's see. In fact, Johnny says, JR says, I asked Bubba earlier, would the purple gold chant work against JMU? Good question, Johnny. Very good question. You know what? I think you do it anyway, right? It's our tradition. So, you know, that's how we get.
The only time you don't do the purple gold cheer is during the Eyes of Texas.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about
During the Eyes of Texas, you close your mouth, you put your hand over your heart, and you pay your respects to the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, you can't say horns down, right? I remember them getting mad about that. By the way, I want to remind you also, I know we're going to have him on very soon, but the 23 Club, 23club.org, that is the NIL part of the Team Boneyard, and they've got a spinoff of UL former Pirate players, and this is a great opportunity. This is very simple. $23 a month, folks. $23 a month. You can do different amounts, but 23 is what I just signed up for a week or so ago, maybe almost two weeks ago. I'd forgot to do it, I'll be honest, but thanks to Bubba's show recently, a couple Wednesdays ago, and it reminded me to sign up, 23club.org. And this is how you want to host regionals. You want to host super regionals. You want to go to Omaha, 23club.org. That's where it's at. Give money to Pirates Unite. Let's have keep expanding our facilities. I mean, I know people want more seats, but I don't think that's going to be the case. But who knows what they'll do after this initial expansion. But it's definitely a step in the right direction, something that Cliff Godwin has wanted for a number of years now, Bubba.
Yeah, I caught up with Mike Harrington, one of Cliff's teammates. And, you know, that was a conversation we had on Thursday. So, you know, just 3 days ago, and caught up with Mike. Excellent, you know, 35, 40-minute conversation talking about the 23 club primarily, but also just the things that this program has accomplished, you know, over the last decade. And, you know, always proud baseball program that it had so much success has taken it to an either another level. And, right. You know, we're obviously, you know, looking to win that national championship. And kind of going back to the selection of the host sites, you know, Johnny Gardner reached out to me, you know, one or two of my App State buddies reached out to me saying that the Mississippi State fans on X, I'll see if we can read some of these comments, but
they're upset.
They weren't very happy, as you would expect, about the Pirates getting the host site compared to their Bulldogs.
Well, hey, join the crowd there for the Mississippi. We have nothing, I would say, we have a lot of respect for your baseball program. We have nothing against you guys. And just think about how we feel when we don't get, you know, like even last year, you know, last year we could have made a case to be a host, but we went to Charlottesville, gave it a good fight, and beat Oklahoma twice. And man, we had Virginia right that last game. Jacob Starling, we were right there in the outfield. Johnny and a lot of other great folks that were out there with us in left field. And man, that ball was so close to being out. It was deep in the warning track. That could have been a grand slam. That could have tied the game. But I think that was in the seventh inning. But, you know, hey, things like that happen. So, you know, if you guys won the whole thing a few years ago, was it 2 or 3 years ago, Bubba? So maybe you guys go on the road, you have a chip on your shoulder, something to prove, and you win the whole thing. You never know. So you don't always have to host to win the whole thing.
Yeah, Johnny, if you would provide that information that you were sharing with us earlier today in our mega text, and it's a group text with, you know, approximately 20, 25 Pirate fans, and you had some excellent information as far as Ole Miss when they were a 3 seed, came out of the Coral Gables regional to win the national championship, and then last year you had a couple 2 seeds, and then I think what a 4 seed and Oral Roberts make it. So, yes, it's very important to host both the regional and the super regional, but it's far from a guarantee. And we just have to play the way we've played for the majority of this season, especially, you know, prior to all those arms going down in mid to late April.
No doubt. And let's see. In fact, John makes a great point. Coastal several years ago won it as a 2 seed. So you don't have to be a 1 seed to win it. Obviously, we want to win it, but it can be done many different ways. It doesn't matter what road you get to Omaha, as long as you get there. That's the most important thing. And then once you get there, you obviously want to win it. So, hey, man, this is just fantastic. Put more of your questions and comments there. In the chat, and for Facebook, I know we have X, we have people on also on YouTube. So put your comments there. We'd love to have, if you have any questions or comments. And Bubba, do you have more things for us? It's been a very busy night, but a very happy night for Pirate fans.
Yeah, appreciate everyone chiming in. We've had a lot of great crowds, you know, audiences, you know, for our live shows with extra innings down through the years, but tonight, and definitely the largest we've had.
Well, by far, it's not even close. So thank you so much. We have Elliot earlier giving us the compliments of the show always provides a lot of information, a great show. So thank you, Elliot, for that. And I know a lot of people tell us that privately and publicly when we're at events with ECU.
Another one to think about, I believe this team won the Mountain West. They'll be in the tournament this year. And when Fresno State won it, you know, back 15 to 20 years ago. That year, they would not have even made the tournament, but they won their conference tournament, and then they ran the table.
That's right. Wow. Just, you know, there's so many greats. That's what makes college baseball so great, is there's so many great teams that you don't think about, and then all of a sudden, hey, they're right there. A great Cinderella story like the Dallas Baptist of the world, the Oral Roberts.
Elliot will probably go live tomorrow. We'll definitely have content for you tomorrow. Dave will be at Town Bank Tower and for the selection show. So when we find out the other three teams that are going to be here at the Greenville Regional and then who the Pirates are paired up with in that potential Super Regional, you know, we'll let you know all of that tomorrow. Or, you know, obviously you'll find out, but then we'll talk about it after the fact, if not live. And, you know, we'll probably have a little video from the selection show at Town Bank Tower. And then you know, we'll also probably have a show or two throughout the week. Whoever is coming to Greenville, we typically try to have a regional preview show.
Absolutely. So it's a busy week for us, obviously, but not only our personal lives, but obviously for East Carolina, but we try to give as much coverage as we can. But how about this? John White says he knows he's biased, but I'm sure Tim Langdon can agree here. ECU's 1990 team, excellent team, but ran into a regional that Citadel won the regional, went on to Omaha. So you never know. That 1990 team was one of the best for sure, John, right before I started. A year or two before I started East Carolina. And I know we have guys on the show as well through our 23 Jungle Tales and different things, but meeting these guys, one of the best teams, one of the best records of all time for that team as far as season records. So, Bubba, yeah. That was one of the best.
Yeah, and that, John, refresh me. I know that was back before the format changed. The format changed in the 1998 season. As far as going from 48 teams to 64 teams, and then you had the 16 four-team regionals or sub-regionals, as they were called at the time, and I think they may still technically be called that, but back then you had that 16 regional down in Coral Gables, so you had Miami, East Carolina, NC State, the Citadel. John, who were the other two teams in that regional? Do you recall?
Wow. That's incredible. That's a tough thing. But by the way, while we're waiting on John, Johnny JR, in the past three seasons, there have been 7 2 seeds, two three seeds, and a four seed to make it to Omaha. One of the three seeds was that 22 Ole Miss team that won the title.
Yep. And I guess it was last year, Tim Elko, you know, from that national championship team for Ole Miss, was playing for the Kannapolis Cannonballers. So I actually, you know, my son Riley got a ball at that game. And so I told him, I said, hey, this guy, you know, played for Ole Miss when they won the national championship. I said, why don't you get this on a baseball in addition to his autograph? And he got him to sign Hotty Toddy.
John said it was 48 teams and one regional only, six teams, and the team you think about, Bubba, was South Florida.
So that USF. Gotcha. So that was pretty cool to have that baseball sign Hotty Toddy, and then 2022 CWS champs.
And Stetson was the other.
Okay. Stetson.
All right.
Gotcha. And, yeah, I should have known that, John, as far as South Florida, because I was listening to that game. I believe that was the game where, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey Short seems like got a big hit, and we won that game, but I think lost to NC State, maybe 8-1, and lost a game to, was it the Citadel or South Florida? I mean, not South Florida, but I think the losses were NC State and the Citadel, maybe.
Elliot John Jameson, rather, have a good night. Always enjoy the show, Bubba and Dave. Thank you, Elliot, so much. We appreciate you chiming in a lot tonight. And welcome in Josh O'Neill. What's up, Josh? Good evening, fellas. Let's go Pirates. Josh, you guys out in left field, I know you're going to have you guys are going to be cranked up. Lots of great, great barbecue or different. I don't know what's on the menu, but man, that tailgate is one of the best tailgates. I don't care. It's baseball or whatever sport. That is one of the best tailgates, period, I've ever been to. And I know Bubba, myself, there's a lot of people that have been invited out to that tailgate, and it's a real honor to be able to go out and hang out with those great folks that we know.
Hashtag free Brian. You know, most fans that are, if you're on X, formerly Twitter, you know what I'm referring to. Just total, you know, complete ridiculousness from the American Athletic Conference booting Brian Dilday, you know, from the game. There they were. And I'm not saying, you know, just because a fan travels a long distance that, you know, you just let anything go, but you got to be smarter than what they did. I mean, they're booting him for nothing.
For a megaphone.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's not even.
And I asked Josh, you know, what was said, you know, prior to that usher telling me he had to hit the road during that game against the Shockers. And he said it was very, I mean, it was nothing. I mean, it was just made a comment, you know, reference, you know, maybe called the pitcher Goldilocks because he had long blonde hair. And so fortunately they got it right. They realized they made a mistake and you know, ticked a lot of people off. And I'm sure they saw you know, how many folks with Pirate Nation, you know, were
blowing up Twitter.
We're posting at them on X, and then obviously folks there, you know, at Bay Care Ballpark as well.
It's a beautiful ballpark, and I definitely will say that, but it's just nuts. By the way, going back to John White again, beat South Florida first game. They lost to the Citadel in the second game. This is a 1990, what was called the regional, the way the format was then. The NC State game on third game, Citadel beat State the first game, East Carolina the second game, is that Miami the third game, and then Miami again the fourth game, no losses. Crazy. Then let's see here. Oh yeah, James, our friend, our Southern Mississippi fan, who friends with Kyle and obviously us, let's send your Sun Belt Conference champs to Greenville as your 2 seed and go old school. Well, if that happens, it happens, James. We don't turn down anybody for sure. And, you know, we love Southern Miss. It's one of those rivalries we should still be doing, but that's a whole another show for sure. Josh O'Neill said, yes, sir, you guys are definitely welcome anytime. Huge shout out to the team for reaching out to the conference and straightening it all out. In fact, just an embarrassing look. You know, again, the conference is, I like the conference, but there's 2 years in a row, Clearwater. Why does that stuff happen in Clearwater? It doesn't happen in the other sport. So why does it happen with the same umpire? Maybe you need to look at not letting that umpire call games or not call East Carolina games or something, because you don't see Cliff Godwin. He did not deserve 2 games. I'll say that. Whether you can argue he deserved to be kicked out is one thing. But he was trying. He didn't run. What my point is, he did not run on the field and go crazy like a lot of umps that we grew up with. Excuse me, coaches in the major leagues have done, and kicking dirt and all that kind of stuff, and taking a lot of time and to get off the field. I love Coach Godwin. I know that people can say I'm biased, but the guy is not going to say anything unless it was the incorrect call. And we know that, and it was not gamesmanship. It was not to fire up the team. It was just a simple matter of, you know, Dixon Williams did not do that on purpose as far as like trying to take a guy out or hurt a team, hurt a player. Think about this, karma. You don't want to hurt a player because not only would you hurt the player intentionally, Cliff Godwin is going to be coming down on you hard for trying to do something that he would say is stupid and doesn't belong in baseball as far as hurting the program, giving us a bad look. I will give a shout out to the administration. I know they made phone calls. They tried very hard. But I would say if you have any influence over the conference, Just let them know, hey, there's more than one conference out there. And, you know, I'm not that guy, but we are the best. And if you take away East Carolina from the American Baseball League, nobody's going to be talking about the American. Think about that. And I will stand by that. I don't care if the commissioner is on with us, whomever is on with us. That is the way I feel. I feel very strongly about that. East Carolina is a top 15 team every single week in the polls, every single week. And not a lot of Power Five schools can say that, but we are. And so hopefully, you know, thankfully by the committee and the NCAA, we got a lot of respect. And hopefully one day the conference will respect our baseball program, our baseball team. I'm hoping next year in Clearwater, we don't have any controversy. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of dealing with it every single tournament of the last 2 years. And so hopefully next year will be a different story. Let's see here. Richard Allsbrook just said D1 baseball projects us to be the number 16th ranked seed. If that's true, we'll be most likely against the Supers against Tennessee. If they win theirs and we win ours, we would go to Knoxville next weekend. So we'll see. We'll have to see how that all plays out. Bubba, do you have anything? I know that we've gone long tonight, but a huge night for us and for East Carolina, not for us individually, but certainly for the program.
No, not really anything else to add tonight, Dave. Just if you haven't heard that conversation with Mike Harrington, I encourage you to go back and check that out. Then tomorrow, you know, with the selection show, you know, as mentioned by Tim Langdon, what noon on ESPN2. So again, noon on ESPN2. And, you know, we'll definitely have content surrounding that, if not going live during it. I'm going to be driving to Tennessee, but we'll be leaving Tennessee a little bit early. I'm taking two cars because, you know, when this vacation was booked, I told Stacy, the Pirates, you know, are playing in a regional, be it at home or on the road that weekend, you know, I'll be attending. So, and so they'll be coming home a day or two after me, but making that trip home from Tennessee on Thursday night. And then obviously to Greenville first thing Friday morning, if not late Thursday night. But
Nate says, we'll see you in the jungle Friday. Nate, you're the best. We appreciate you guys again. The jungle atmosphere, I'll say it again, is second to none. Those folks out in left field, there's so many people that I know in the left field side of the jungle who have, I've got to know a lot over the last, three or four years. And you guys have been awesome. So I appreciate you all very much. And I see a lot of you guys at football games and basketball games. And then travel, my gosh, our group, there's probably 20 or 30 of us that we're everywhere. And it's not just us, right, Bubba? There's a lot of great people. I don't want to just say it's just 20 people, but a lot of people that I know personally do that.
Right.
All right, Will. Bubba, I know that I want to thank everybody for tuning in. A huge night for the Sports Objective here, Extra Innings. We are going to host, and we'll find out the teams tomorrow at noon, like you said. Want to remind everybody, our great show is brought to you by, presented by pgxgloves.com. You can go there. In fact, put in the promo code ECU. And Bubba, is that a 20%? Help me out on the percentage. 10% or 20? On the... I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, you put in the promo code, you get a discount. You can go there, pgxgloves.com. And also, Homegrown is another one, Bubba. I know that they have a lot of great merchandise. And by the way, hey, you know that Father's Day is around the corner? Well, guess what? You can go to pgxgloves.com, or you can go to Homegrown, another one of our sponsors. Appreciate them very much. And Bubba, they've got a lot of great, they've got a lot of great swag, a lot of great merch. I don't know if I've lost, maybe have lost Bubba, but anyway, Homegrown, if you get a chance, check that out. There's a lot of schools. So maybe you say, well, my dad is not a Pirate. Okay, well, you know, then they have other schools. But I know that if you put ECU in there, obviously that is a really big deal for us, for those of us and part of the show. So Homegrown, make sure you let them know. Put an ECU in the promo code. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll get out of here. Does anybody have anything before we go? Last call, and we'll get out of here. Again, make sure that you give money to Pirates Unite. Your tickets, if you're joining us now, again, will be delivered to you on Wednesday. So they'll charge your credit card or your debit card, whichever is on file, on Wednesday, and then Friday, most likely at noon. The weather's looking great all weekend long, so it looks like right now things aren't good. Thank you, James. He says congrats. Congrats to Southern Miss, too. And if that happens, that'll be great. Maybe you can come up here and we can hang out. That would be fantastic. It'll be great to see you and Kyle. I'm sure brotherly love, like stepbrothers in that movie for sure. All right, we'll get out of here. Thank you so much. Long show, but an historical night and a great night for Pirate Baseball as we're hosting. And we do this show every Sunday night. In fact, we'll have a couple shows this week as we get you, walk you up to the Greenville Regional starting most likely Friday at noon. This has been the Sports Objective presented by PGXGloves.com. And you heard it all right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings presented by PGXGloves.com on the Sports Objective. Join us again next Sunday night as we will again talk East Carolina Pirate Baseball. Be sure to follow the Sports Objective on social media. It can be found at the Sports OBJ on X, at the Sports Objective on Instagram and TikTok. Like and follow the show on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe, be sure to click the notification bell and all, so you're alerted on your device anytime we go live or upload new content. As always, we appreciate you watching and listening to the show. Go Pirates!